Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Mini Crush with Noel and Chuck.
Ah, Chuck.
How you doing?
I'm good. You know, it's been a couple days.
Yeah, so this will come out Monday. By this time, we will probably have a pretty decisive view of who the president will be. I started to relax yesterday, to be honest.
Same.
Once I saw the math, but we were supposed to record on Wednesday morning. And I was really hungover and really not in the mood to be fun on the show. Pushed it a day, which I think was the right move.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right, Chuck. Yesterday was good. I took a Xanax and had a bath and just sort of disconnected a little bit. And it was good. I felt a lot more zen. My dreams were not nightmarish, Trumpian ghouls coming for me. So,
yeah, that's great. Yeah. If you don't want to hear us talk politics, turn it off for the next couple of minutes. But it looks like things are going in Mr. Biden's favor. And Georgia, in the next couple of hours in real time, we might even know if Georgia flipped. I have a feeling we might come up a little bit short.
Yeah.
But hey, dude, you never know.
I mean, either way, look, here, my big thing is just the razor thin margins on this whole thing have blown me away. Not that I was expecting like a landslide. I mean, I know what the score is, but yeah. It's just so close that I'm like, really? Like, really? Like, have you been paying attention? Like, but the Georgia thing is kind of heartening because I don't know that it's ever been this close. And it's nice to know that my vote sort of went somewhere, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if Georgia flips, this will be the first time we've gone blue since Clinton 1.0.
Yep.
So that was a long time ago. And, you know, it's just heartening to see people. There are, on my neighborhood Facebook page, there are people literally trying to track down the four people in our neighborhood who need their mail-in ballots cured.
Yeah, cured. I'd never heard that term before, by the way.
Oh, really?
I love that.
Yeah.
It's also kind of strange. But yeah, I guess that means if something doesn't match up, a signature, there's an error or something, you can call in and give a couple of pieces of ID, you know, virtually, and then they make it right.
Yeah, and dude, that's why, to be honest, that was one of the big reasons why I didn't vote by mail was because, well, two reasons. One is I didn't want any... I didn't want to be a part of any of the shenanigans of what was sure to come, which is now actually happening, which is people saying mail-in votes are fraudulent. So I was like, I'm going to vote in person. But the other thing is my signature never looks the same. And I have no idea what it looked like whenever the heck I registered to vote.
Totally.
I guarantee you I couldn't match it. So.
Yeah. No, it's true. I did the early voting thing and felt great about it, and it was super quick and efficient. Yeah, I'm looking at the thing now. It looks like we're 99% reporting, but we're still not at 50% on either side. Like, we're 49.2 for Biden, 49.6, so there's going to be recounts either way, that's it close. Sounds like.
But, Noel, moving on from politics.
Yes, please.
We celebrated our crush-iversary yesterday, or two days ago.
I know.
On Election Day. That was 3 years, baby.
Three? I didn't realize it was three. My God.
3 years.
That's amazing.
And, I made a nice post about it. And
I saw it. It was very lovely.
When you were but a fledgling, you weren't a fledgling, but you were, for Movie Crush, you were a fledgling editor.
I hadn't developed arms or legs yet at that point. I was just sort of like a torso with little nubs. Like
that's right. Yeah. You were on other shows, though.
I was
you just
on
weren't
shows.
On this show.
No.
And now, Noel, you're I can't shake you. You're like a you're like a sick vote that needs to be cured.
It's true. I need to be cured. You know, it's funny. I get reached out to occasionally by listeners on Instagram and are followed. And I don't follow everyone back, but if it's like a cool artist or there's something interesting about your page, I'll follow you back. And this guy, Atlanta artist, followed me, Pack the Ripper. Really, really cool stuff, like kind of psychedelic graffiti-ish type art. But he was talking about how he's been listening to Stuff I Don't Want You to Know since the beginning and listening to this show since the beginning. And that has gotten him through some, like, quote, dark times.
Yeah.
So that's always cool to hear when people actually reach out and let you know that, you know, oh, we're not just shouting into the abyss all the time. So that was nice.
Yeah. The abyss, Noel.
The abyss. You shout into the abyss, and the abyss shouts back.
You know, I think the movie The Abyss kind of holds up.
Except for the silvery CGI effects. I don't know about those.
Oh, really? I think it doesn't look too bad.
Maybe you're right. I haven't seen it. All I know is that was sort of the proto T-1000. And yeah. I think even those effects in Terminator 2 don't hold up as well as some of the other aspects of that movie. So I just assumed. But then you're right. It is much more of like an amorphous, blobby, specific thing in The Abyss. So maybe I'll give it a chance. How do you feel about these? This new Avatar series, like 15, 20 years after the original. Do you think anyone's going to care, Chuck?
Oh, well, I can sum up my feeling in five words, Noel.
Okay.
I don't give a shit.
Okay, there you go.
I really don't care, man. I know there are some people that stand by Avatar and really love that movie and are like, what are you talking about? We care. I am of the belief that there has never been a movie that made so much money that people cared so little about a year later.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely like super. It was at that time where there were some like good 3D movies. Like, what was it? Gravity? That made good use of 3D. I am of the mind, I think we're on the same page, that 3D is sort of a bullshit gimmick.
And I'm not into it unless it's animated.
That's right. And so Gravity was like, oh, this is like a ride, and it actually has good acting, and it was cool. Avatar kind of felt like that to me. But you're right. It was just so forgettable. And to like hang your hat as a filmmaker like James Cameron, maybe he's got some magic up his sleeve, but I just, you know.
Yeah, you know, my deal with James Cameron is I think he makes some really fun, pretty great movies at times, but I don't think he's a great writer. I think he could bring in a screenwriter to really make these, take these movies over the top. But I do want to see more from him, but I don't want to see more Avatar, though. Like, I wish he hadn't spent whatever, how many years has he been working on these sequels that I think very few people really want. I mean, I'm going to see it. It's not like I'm going to boycott Avatar 2 and 3 or however many he's making. I'll check it out, and I'm sure they will look pretty amazing and stuff, but I don't know, man. I know Kate Winslet's in it. That's
Kate
good.
Winslet's in it. I've seen some like behind the scenes shots of her in some sort of diving tank with a weird cape or something. Like
she broke Tom Cruise's record. You saw that, right?
For like free diving, breath holding.
Yeah, for breath holding.
Yeah.
She beat Tom Cruise by a full minute.
I like Kate Winslet. She's a pistol. She always gives it her all. You know.
Yeah, she's one of the best actors of her generation. I think.
I agree.
Easily.
I agree.
And a little easy on the eyes, you know.
Not hard on them. Well, that
pretty lady.
It just said a thing. Never mind. Just gloss on past that. I really loved Heavenly Creatures. To me, that is still my favorite of her performances, and it's like one of her first and a Peter Jackson movie that people often forget about because it's not as Peter Jackson-y as most Peter Jackson movies.
I haven't seen that since it was out. I mean, I saw that early on, and geez, that was how many years ago was that, Noel?
Oh, 20 something years ago. Yeah, I mean, 100%. And it I apologize for not remembering her name, but her co-star in that film.
Melanie Lynskey, I think,
that's right. That's exactly right. She did not go on to be as big a star, but she has been very consistent in film and TV, you know, ever since.
Oh, she's great.
Yeah.
I mean, she's wonderful. Mm-hmm. She's one of my favorites. She's been in, she was in that TV show with Amanda Peet and Duplass that was so good. That had too short of a run. I can't remember the name of it. It was really, really good. I think it was HBO. And she's been in a couple of my favorite little indie movies. That's more the route she took, but I think she's wonderful. Big fan of Melanie Lynskey.
Yeah, agreed.
Love it, Noel. Love it. Catching up.
What else is happening, man?
Well, I tell you, Noel, I love October and Halloween a lot. Mm-hmm. And I love watching these scary movies that I've never seen before. Finally, I don't think you were on the last roundtable, but I finally saw my first Rob Zombie movie. I saw The House of 1,000 Corpses.
That's one of the good ones, I think.
I enjoyed it. I'm going to see Devil's Rejects too.
Yeah, I haven't seen
that one. Everyone I talked to said that the third one in that trilogy isn't really great.
Right.
And then I don't really care so much about his Halloween efforts.
Whatever. I'm just not a big remake guy, you know. Yeah. Like, you got Halloween, you got your John Carpenter Halloween, why do you need all these other Halloweens? But Devil's Rejects is cool. It's like he's got a genuine love for schlocky, you know, 70s cinema, and he does a pretty good job of it. And he's always just been an interesting guy. I liked White Zombie, even their music videos, and he was like he did weird animations, and he's just an interesting dude. He did a really cool sequence in the Beavis and Butthead movie when they're tripping on like acid, I guess, or they're in the desert, and then everything starts getting all all Rob Zombified and melty. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
I didn't see that movie.
Yeah, he was about to do America.
Did not see that. But I do love, I did love House of a Thousand Corpses, and I thought it, his zeal for filmmaking really, you can tell he's a fan of film, making films, for which sure. is always a nice thing.
For sure.
Good stuff. But Noel, that is all to say, I am happy to be moving on from Halloween content on the show.
To Thanksgiving content exclusively, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, there's only one Thanksgiving movie.
Is there?
No, there's a few.
What even is it? It's usually some like domestic dispute film where like family gets together for half for Thanksgiving and yells at each other.
Yeah, I mean, there was obviously Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is probably the best example.
That's true.
Of a Thanksgiving movie. And there's been a couple of others, but it's not the biggest. People usually save their filmmaking, heartwarming filmmaking experiences for Christmas.
This is true. This is true. It's another thing too. Like what even is Thanksgiving decor? Like the stores go straight from Halloween, leap right for Christmas. There's no in between, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And the reason I got stumbly there, Noel, is because I almost said save their Christmas load.
That's okay. That's the thing.
But that seemed weird and vaguely sexual.
It's, you know, that's a load is like, that's like what Santa Claus carries around his presents in. It's his Christmas load.
I saw this morning there was a garbage, the headline was garbage truck on East Ponce, which is a big thoroughfare here in Atlanta. Garbage truck on East Ponce catches fire, dumps flaming load.
Yes.
And I was like, flaming load. That's a band name.
It sure is.
Boy.
Yeah, the slightly more aggressive spiritual successor to the Flaming Lips.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Flaming Load opens for Flaming Lips.
I love it.
So, Noel, we are moving on in the best possible way. We're only going to do one thing in this first episode.
Okay.
And then addition to the stream this at the end. But we are going to talk about, where is it? I got too many tabs open, Noel. We're going to go down and find out, because on Wednesday, when we were supposed to record, it was the birthday of a little actor by the name of Matthew McConaughey.
Turns out he's only 3 feet tall.
He is almost my age. I didn't realize that. I thought he was a few years older, but he's about a year and 3 months older by the calendar.
All right, all right, all right, all right.
And by the way, did you know that Dave Chappelle was canvassing my neighborhood the other night, door to door?
I saw that he was in town because Killer Mike posted there was like some kind of private comedy show that he did here in town.
Well, he's doing SNL this weekend, so he did like 3 warm-up shows in Atlanta, and they weren't private. They were just super exclusive because of COVID.
Yeah, they were also pretty indoorsy looking and not particularly social deed, but
yeah, because everyone had to have a COVID test.
Oh, there you go.
They did rapid testing on everyone that came in the door, which is pretty smart way to do it.
That is a smart way to do it.
But yeah, he was canvassing. He was voter canvassing, going door to door in Kirkwood and Eastlake.
That's pretty cool. That would have been a hoot to open the door and have old Dave there.
It was. I was definitely peeking out my door. Mm-hmm. I doubt if he would have come to my house, but you never know.
No, you never know.
All right, Noel. So Matthew McConaughey's birthday. I just asked the Crushers very simply, what's your favorite role? How do you feel about the man?
I feel great about the man. I've always sort of thought that maybe he lacked a little range, but he's proven that not to be the case. He's got some definite chops, like, you know, obviously, like, won an Oscar for Dallas Buyers Club. Mm-hmm. I loved him in True Detective. I think that might be my favorite role of his.
True D,
the first one, the OG, yeah. True D.
It's great.
I don't know if I've mentioned this in like all before. I actually had a call with him once for a podcast related thing.
And
it was just a phone call. It wasn't a Zoom or anything, but he was exactly as you would think. He was asking all these questions, and I got to chime in and like respond quite a few times to him, and he was very easygoing and just wanted to know more about this whole podcast thing, man, you know? And it was pretty cool. We didn't end up doing it with him, whatever it was, but it was neat to chat with him about it.
I love it, Noel. I didn't know that. You get to talk to a lot of cool people.
I do.
I'm sure he remembers you very fondly as
well. Oh, I'm sure he does. I made a real impression. Indelible.
Remember that guy, Noel?
Yeah. I like the cut of his jib, man. You know? Yeah.
All right, yeah, so
True Detective is my, I think I could say unequivocally say that is my favorite. Like, oh, Matthew is like at his Matthewist in the best way.
Yeah, you know, I hate to be so on the nose here, Noel, but I got to go with Wooderson. I mean, I've liked him in so many roles, but iconic movie, iconic character. My story is when that movie came out and he was an unknown, I was 1,000% convinced that he was a real dude right. and not an actor. Like, I was like, oh man, Richard Linklater got this dude that hangs out in Austin and is not an actor to play this guy. And it's perfect. And then later on found out it was Matthew McConaughey, like a year later, once he became a little bit more of a known quantity.
Right.
And I didn't know what to believe, cause it was pre-internet. And I was like, no, that wasn't that guy, cause he looked so different. And I went back and I was like, oh my God, he's a real actor. Totally shocked me.
Isn't he an Austin guy, like through and through? Or did I make that up? Like, he lives there still.
I think he's Texas. Is he Austin?
I thought he was for some reason. Like,
he may be. I know he's a big University of Texas fan, which is out of Austin because he goes to those games and stuff. But yeah, he's probably from the suburbs of Austin.
Yeah.
Would be my guess. But we're going to start off with Katie Walker here. She says, is my recollection right in remembering it is also your birthday, Chuck? No, it's not, Katie.
God, I'm glad, because I would have felt like a real heel.
No, my birthday's in March. But she says Willis Newton in The Newton Boys. Very underrated role. Newton Boys is fun.
I don't know about The Newton Boys. Is that like a heist movie? Are they like
it was another
criminals?
Richard Linklater movie. It was a Western. But yeah, Western, The Newton Boys were bank robbers in the Old West. I think Ethan Hawke was in it, of course.
He sure is. I do not recall it. Really quick sidebar, just before, I don't want to hold us up, but did you know the movie Slacker, right? The Richard Linklater.
Sure.
You familiar with The Church of the Subgenius, Chuck?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Bob Dobbs. Bob Dobbs, right. There's a documentary that just came out. It's just called Bob Dobbs and the Church of the Subgenius. And I've had friends throughout my life that were really into that whole world. It's like a jokey kind of cult that also is a real cult, but it's a whole thing. Look it up, folks. Fascinating world. But they have this concept in Subgenius called slack, and that's like what you want to have to attain slack. And that is what Slacker was based on, was a lot of these folks that Linklater knew who were early Subgenius folks, and that's kind of what he based those characters on. And the term slackers came from Church of the Subgenius.
I love it. Great movie. One of my favorites. That movie really opened my eyes to independent film back in the day. And you know, the other little tidbit there, Noel, I know you know this. Oops, let me turn that off. Is, you know, the guy in the car with a loudspeaker driving around town, yipping and yapping?
Mm-hmm.
You know who that is?
No.
That's Alex Jones.
Alex Jones, that's right. And he's also makes an appearance in Waking Life as his more Alex Jonesy self. Because Alex Jones, like, originally he was a Texas, like, kind of shock jock or public access host. And he sort of just was more of like a joke. And then he sort of leaned into this persona that he created.
Some might say he's still a joke, Noel.
Well, some would certainly say that, and I would be one of them. But what I'm saying is he didn't take himself as seriously then as he maybe does now in terms of, like, I am speaking the truth. He was more just playing sort of like a weirdo.
Yeah, totally. Christopher Rennie says, Dazed and Confused is up there, of course, and Dallas Buyers Club, but nothing will ever beat True Detective. Nick Kelly, definitely True Detective. Our old pal Vanessa Lopez says, probably Sahara, movie I didn't see. Admittedly, I haven't seen him in some of his more serious roles, but Sahara was a fun go-to sick day movie. Okay?
I think it's like an adventure, romp kind of thing.
Yeah, I didn't see that one. Norma Brunson says, Mickey Haller from The Lincoln Lawyer. Did not see that. I've heard it was pretty good.
Every time I hear that, though, I just think Lincoln Logs. I don't know why.
Oh, yeah?
I do know why.
Because it sounds like it.
That's exactly right.
Ashley M. Neville says, his performance in Interstellar was breathtaking. This is more all over the place than I thought, Noel.
Yeah.
Because I'm not even cherry picking. I'm going in order. And we've had no repeats. Becca Lou, almost no repeats. Becca Lou says, Reign of Fire. Did you see that?
It's a dragon movie, I would assume.
Dragon hunting. It was great.
But did he, like, do his, like, Southern charming, like, you know, Texas boy shtick? Or did he, like, try to do a British accent or something?
I'm trying to remember. I don't think it was either.
Got it.
I don't know, though.
Got it. I'm looking up his IMDb right now because he's been so much stuff.
So much stuff. Old pal Jonathan Cooley says his performance in Frailty is so understated and haunting.
Yeah, I was going to say that one. That's, yeah. big time.
That's good. All right. Eric, oh, this is fun. Eric Torgensen says, I got to go with Buster Moon and Sing. Probably the role I've seen the most because I have an 8-year-old. Did you ever see that one, Noel? Sing?
It's an animated film with a lot of songs that people sing.
That was one of Ruby's very early movies, and it kind of fell off our radar. We haven't seen it in, you know, probably 3 years. She saw that when she was like 2.
There's a sequel on the horizon for 2021.
Sing 2?
Sing 2.
More singing?
Sing again.
Keep singing?
Still singing.
Our old buddy Stellan Carlson is sort of cool on him. Says, I think most of his performances are just all right. All right. All right. Get it?
Uh-huh. That was good. I liked him.
Just kidding.
I liked him in Dallas Buyers Club in that one scene where he's sort of like the cokey lawyer that sort of like teaches Leo DiCaprio how to like, you know, do blow in the whatever, like lawyer fancy restaurant or whatever. You know what I mean? Like it's just a good quintessential, like taking him under his wing kind of and making him as like a skis bag kind of thing.
Skis bag.
Yeah.
Stellan likes Dallas Buyers Club, though. Masterful performance, he says.
I have not seen it.
You still haven't seen that?
I haven't seen it. I know why. I don't go for the over-the-top, dramatic, heavy movies.
I thought you just said the scene from Dallas Buyers Club.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. I meant Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, okay.
Wolf of Wall Street. Okay, let me rephrase. Sorry. That's the scene where he takes Leonardo DiCaprio, takes him for lunch, and asks me, he says, like, want a little tootski?
Yeah.
It's just like classic, like, you know, Southern skeezy New York lawyer.
Brandy McDonald said, love him in Dazed Confused, but I don't know if anyone could have done his role in A Time to Kill like he did.
Oh, yeah.
Forgot about that one, too, Noel.
I always forget about those, what's that writer's name?
Grisham, I don't see those movies.
Yeah, it's not my thing.
I'm not knocking him, but I don't usually, I saw The Firm back in the day, but that was about it. My cousin was in The Firm.
Your cousin?
Ooh.
Yeah. Was it back?
Yeah, it was shot in Memphis, and they were in Memphis, and there's just a little shot. She's a background extra, but she filled the frame.
Nice.
It was that kind of thing.
He was in
a distinct close-up of my cousin with like a sparkler or something.
Do you get extra cash for that if you fill the frame?
Nah.
Yeah.
You got to say something. Yeah, you got to have a line or interact with a actor in some way. Like you get a bump even if you walk in and like hand someone a piece of copy paper or something.
Got it.
Like if you walk in and hand Matthew McConaughey a folio, then you get a little bump as an extra.
So if she had handed somebody that sparkler, that would have been different.
If she would have handed Tom Cruise a sparkler, she would have gotten a bump.
Got it.
Correct.
He was in a pretty underappreciated, maybe because it's bad, I remember liking it, horror sequel called Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Next Generation, starring...
I think that might have been his first movie.
Renee Zellweger? No, this would have been after.
Yeah, it was both of their first films, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow. Oh, maybe you're right. I guess it was trying to get a year here on IMDb. 94, though. When was Dazed and Confused? It was that... I thought it was earlier than that.
Well, it was right around there because I saw it toward the end of college.
I guess you're right. He has like a robot leg or something, though, if I'm not mistaken. In
real life?
In Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Next Generation.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Paul Legner says, really liked him in Mud when I watched it for the first time. That's another good one, Noel.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in a lot of really good movies. Mud was great. Did you see that?
I have not, but I've heard it was wonderful, and it was definitely like a buzzy movie that year.
Linnea Barnett, one of our old friends. It's a newer one, but I loved him in The Gentleman. Perfect role for him. I haven't even heard that. You know that movie?
The Gentleman?
The Gentleman.
No.
Or The Gentleman.
Who knows?
Oh, shit. Do you remember Killer Joe? Oh,
yeah, Killer Joe I saw as a play, actually. It was written by, what's his face?
Tracy Letts, right?
Yeah.
Is it?
No. Hold on a second. It was...
I know who it was, but Aaron Huey Mizell, one of our oldest of friends... says, definitely not Killer Joe. That chicken drumstick scene was distressing.
Uh-huh.
I loved Killer Joe. I mean, it's out there. You really got to be up for that kind of movie.
Totally.
But I thought it was a lot of fun.
You're right. It was Tracy Letts. And William Friedkin directed it of The Exorcist fame. I didn't see the movie, but I did see the play.
It was not unlike The Exorcist in some ways. It was great. Oh, here we go. I forgot about this, too. A little cameo in Tropic Thunder. Michael McCord says Ben Stiller's agent in Tropic Thunder. I don't think he's made me laugh more
he's, I mean, there's nothing about that movie that doesn't crack me up. It's really funny though. Like that movie is one of the only movies where someone gets a pass kind of for doing a blackface ish scenario because it's such high satire and knows right. exactly what it's doing. And sure, could you take it out of context and blast it on the internet and say, you know, Robert Downey Jr.
fun of
is canceled
blackface?
Of course they were, but what I'm saying is out of context,
sure,
that's exactly the kind of thing that cancel culture could like glom onto, but that hasn't happened, and I think that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, that movie had many not PC things going on in it.
But it's such layered satire that you can't, it knows what it's doing, you know?
Yeah, people, we can't lose satire. Come on. I'm all about doing the right thing, but we can't lose satire.
Let me ask you this, though. I've been having this conversation lately. We had a really great interview on Stuff That I Want You to Know with this fantastic journalist named Jake Hanrahan, who does a podcast for us called Q Clearance, and it's about QAnon and that whole crazy conspiracy theory thing. And he used the term that I hadn't really heard before, but that we're living in a post-truth society. The idea that like the very notion of truth is kind of questionable.
Yeah.
It's difficult to quantify when people just don't care. And along with that comes the loss of impact of comedy and satire.
Sure.
And it's because it's really difficult to make fun of something when it in and of itself is its own parody. It's so over the top and ridiculous. How do you feel about that? Like just the idea of like, is satire impossible this day and age?
Well, I don't think it's impossible as long as you can do it. People might yell and scream about it, but you got to be able to. Satire is one of my favorite kinds of comedy because it's funny and you're also making a very subversive statement about something, and it also flies over the heads of dum-dums.
Yep.
And that's my favorite kind of comedy, I think.
Totally.
It's intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading The Onion in high school, you know, it was always sort of part of my world.
Yeah. Oh, same. Yeah. And then that, you know, now we're in a world where regular headlines feel like Onion headlines.
I saw one the other day, an Onion headline about the vote that said that had a picture of a guy like a militia dope standing right behind a guy that was voting in the voting booth. And it said voter intimidation is not a real thing. The militia man whispered in the ear of the man casting his vote.
Right. Right. I love it.
All right. Austin Debski, one of our oldest friends, said he's come so far as an actor, but to me, he'll always be the shirtless for no reason. Rom-com star, failure to launch. Hey, you listen, man. If you want a fun little romantic comedy and you want to turn your brain off and be charmed by a couple of good looking people, watch Failure to Launch. Watch, what's the fucking one with Goldie Hawn's daughter? Not 10 Things I Hate About You.
It's something like
come
that.
Come on, Noel.
I had it in front of me. It was something Conversations About One Thing.
Oh, man. Everyone's yelling. I'm so sorry, everyone.
Wait, where is it?
Here's Kate Hudson.
Ghosts of Girlfriends Past was one.
No.
No, but that's in that same world. There was Fool's Gold. Fool's Gold.
No, that's the other one that he made with her.
Yeah, she's in that one. That's okay. All right.
How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
There you go. There you go.
I knew there was a 10 in there. You know, that movie is what it is, but it's kind of fun. She's charming. He's charming.
How to Lose
it's not
a
great.
Guy
it's not
days.
Great filmmaking, but you know what? I like a little brainless rom-com every now and then, Noel.
How am I not seeing? I'm not seeing that on his list.
How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days?
No.
Sure, he's the guy.
Are you sure?
He played Ben.
Did she lose
I
him
I even
in
remember his character's
days?
Name.
How many days did it take for her to lose him? And I don't know spoilers.
It's the premise is...
You're damn right, that is him, of course.
That this Kate Hudson, I believe, is a magazine writer and is tasked with... dating a guy and then I think breaking up with him in 10 days or no, getting him to break up with her in 10 days by being like super clingy and being all these things that supposedly guys don't like. And you know, you can guess how that one turns out.
Yeah, there's that other one where Drew Barrymore had to play, it was called Never Been Kissed, and she had to play, like, fake herself sure. into high school to write a piece about what it's like dating in high school.
That was fun.
It was fun. I tell you, though, it's not on his, I know he's in it, I'm not questioning that, I'm not questioning the nature of reality, but it's funny, it's not on his IMDb filmography.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, Noel, don't lie.
Came out in 2003, we've got, oh, there it is, sorry. Okay, move on. There it is. I thought there was a conspiracy afoot, like he was trying to erase this film from the internet.
All right, let's just do a couple of more. Todd Frederick says this, check out Tiptoes from 2003. You know what, if I'm not mistaken, yes, I went to the rap party for that. Did I ever tell the story?
No, god no.
About my Matthew McConaughey experience?
No. Peter Dinklage is in it though, holy shit.
So here's the deal. My buddy Scotty, who's been on the show, you know Scotty,
yeah.
He worked as a camera assistant on Tiptoes. This is when we all lived in L.A. together. And Matthew McConaughey was in it. Gary Oldman was in it. Kate Beckinsale, I think, a couple of other people. Patricia Arquette.
Peter Dinklage. And
I went to the rap party with Scotty. So it was at this bar in Los Feliz where we lived in our neighborhood. Scotty lived right down the street. And so we walked down there. Kind of a interesting party for a couple of reasons. One is Ron Jeremy was there.
Oh, tight.
And sitting in a booth, Ron Jeremy was sitting in a booth with the little person from Twin Peaks. I believe his name was Michael Anderson.
Oh, wow. Cool.
He was sitting in Ron Jeremy's lap.
That's about the most LA thing ever.
Most
of all time.
LA story you could ever tell, right?
Yeah.
And I went over to Ron Jeremy and actually spoke to him because I was kind of drunk. And I said, Mr. Jeremy, I just want to come over and say hello. Shook his hand, and he said, hey, you want a lady? You want a girl here? And I went, what do you mean? He said, you want a girl here? I said, I don't know. And he said, because they're giving them out like raffle tickets. And then he went, smell the breeze. I'll never forget it, Noel. I will never forget that moment. It was amazing.
Smell the breeze. And then the dude from Twin Peaks said it all backwards, right?
Yeah, he went, raffle. It was very, very funny. So then end of the night comes. I can't believe I never told this story. Maybe I have.
No, I've never heard it.
My buddy Scotty sends over a couple of tequila shots, or sends over a tequila shot to Matthew McConaughey. And he kind of looks down at us and, like, you know, gives us the old, all right, yeah, and we all took our shots without, like, approaching one another. He's 10 feet across the room. Then after the thing, there was a parking lot scene, and we go up to Matthew McConaughey, who is talking to other people, and Scotty invites him to go back to the apartment to smoke some weed, and he declines and is a little weirded out. And I was like, I think he recognized you, Scotty, as the tequila guy. And now you're trying to get him to go back to the apartment. I was like, I think you might think like you're hitting on him or something.
Oh, wow.
It's like, I couldn't really tell. And then the most Matthew McConaughey thing that's ever happened, Noel, happens at the end of the night. Party disperses from the parking lot. We are walking up the street toward Scotty's apartment. And probably 300 feet up the road from the bar, we see Matthew McConaughey walking by himself on the sidewalk. A car full of girls, young women, pulls up and stops. We hear the window roll down and yap, 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 yap. Him kind of lean down and look in. And then do you know what happened, Noel?
He got in the car.
He got in that fucking car and left. And that's it, dude. That was like the most Matthew McConaughey thing ever. And I don't think these were girls from the party either. I think they were just riding down the road in Los Feliz.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh my God, you're Matthew McConaughey. And he, I'm sure, said, do you girls want a party?
Yeah.
And so I can't imagine what happened after then. They either just had some good old clean fun or, you know,
some filthy fun. What bar was it in Los Feliz?
Oh, I don't remember. It was, it wasn't one of the good bars.
Okay.
It was one of these weird restaurants that had a big back room with
a bar.
They could kind of rent it out.
Yeah. It wasn't the Dresden.
No, it wasn't the Dresden or the drawing room or anything. Great. So yeah, that's my Matthew McConaughey story.
That was worth every penny. And it was
smell
free.
The breeze, Noel.
Smell the breeze.
Very Hollywood night. All right, we're going to finish up with Stream This. Really quickly, Emily, we needed some brainless fun over the past week. She had never seen the final two Avengers movies. Her deal with that is she enjoys those movies, but she will never seek them out. I have to be like, hey, you should watch this. You'd like it. So we watched Thor Ragnarok, Shazam, and the final two Avengers movies over the past like 2 weeks. And she really liked them all and had a good time. We also filled a hole because we wanted to watch something kind of classic that we've never seen. And we watched the movie Moonstruck. I can't believe I'd never seen it. Great, great early Nicolas Cage. He's so, so good in it. And Cher is fantastic. Really great, great movie. And then we're just barreling through Schitt's Creek still.
Love Schitt's Creek. Been streaming that one myself. Moonstruck came up for me recently, I think, because of Pretty Woman, maybe. Because I hadn't seen that. And it's maybe in the same ilk genre as that.
It is. Moonstruck is a little more substantial, I think.
Okay.
That's just
okay.
My take.
Got it. But yeah. So I also would like to see Moonstruck.
I mean, if you want early great over-the-top Nicolas Cage, then Moonstruck is for you. It's really, really great performance.
Cool.
And my problem with Schitt's and all, love it, love it, love it, but I hate to complain about actors because you never know when someone might be listening, but the couple of side characters I think are fairly weak actor-wise. The black ink bearded guy that she does road work with.
Oh, sure. It's clearly really a bad fake beard, too, right?
Wouldn't you? It looks so. I mean, he looks like he swam through octopus ink or something.
Right.
Like, it looks so phony. I don't know if it's fake. It looks very phony.
Well, but he eventually, you know, shaves it, and that becomes a comedic moment. And,
well, I don't know anything about that, Noel, so don't spoil it.
Oh, okay. I don't know how far you are in it. It's not that far, though. I'm only in, like, maybe the second season.
I'm in season one.
Okay. You're not wrong, but I also don't think he needs to be. He's almost like a straight man character. Like the humor comes from him being immovably square, kind of.
He kind of bugs me though, I think. And then the veterinarian, I don't know how long he sticks around, but he's in season one and he kind of bugs too. I just don't think they're very
same
strong
role, same type though. You know what I mean? They're meant to play, their like relative normalcy is meant to play off of the absurdity of what's her face, of who they're both kind of dating. I enjoy the show. I'm with you though. There's some things about it that aren't perfect, but I think it's overall like a really nice show. It gives me a certain amount of like comfort in the way The Office did. I really dig it.
Like, these are our friends.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, Catherine O'Hara. I mean, everyone's great, but she's just, when she has license to just go for it, she gets really silly, and I love it.
Have you seen the one where she does the wine commercial yet?
Yeah.
I don't think I've laughed, like, by myself in my home. You know how it's like laughing can be a little performative. You do it maybe more when you're around people or it's, you know, contagious. But at the end, when she's like drunk and doing it, I was just laughing my ass off by myself like a crazy person. And that's when I knew, okay, this is fucking good.
That scene was so good. Oh man, I liked it before she got drunk. When
no, that's
she was
great
trying
too. That's great
to nail it. Yeah. And was just getting like words slightly wrong.
Well, especially because it's all based around the pomp and circumstance of like filming a thing and like okay, everyone on their marks. Okay, last looks. Okay, and action. And the camera pushes in, and it's meant to be timed out just right.
Yeah, that adds a lot to it.
So fucking funny, man.
What else you been watching, Noel?
I have been just blasting my way through, and I watched season two of this when it was originally on, but the Fargo television series. I've seen it all now, except for I'm current with the new season, but I hadn't seen the Billy Bob season. And
God,
good
so
Lord, that character he plays, it's like he's just the most like demonic, kind of like supernaturally evil villain of all time, and I just love it. Lauren Malvo is his name, I think, if it even is his name. But goddamn, what a great show. Every season has its own thing. There's a nice extended universe connectivity to it, but you don't have to have that if you don't want it. It's just so genius. It's that guy Noah Hawley who, like, you know, wrote most of them, I think, if not all of them, and directed some. But he's did that show Legion as well, and he's written a lot of novels. And he's obviously just masterful at this and at adapting pre-existing stuff, because Legion was based on a comic book as well. But I just love it. I just think it's so good, so well done.
I think my favorite season was the one with Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah, me too. Yep.
But I mean, those first two are great. I haven't seen the new season yet because I've heard bad things and I don't want to ruin it, but I guess I should. How far along are you?
In the new season?
Yeah.
I've only seen through episode two, so I wouldn't even say I'm exactly current, but
I'm going to watch it. But no, I got to turn off my fridge. You keep talking for a minute. You hear that noise?
Yeah, man. What is that? Is that, that's your little mini fridge that gets a little cantankerous from time to time. Let's see. What do we need?
Noel, you weren't talking to people. You're supposed to entertain everyone.
I'm doing my, I was talking about your mini fridge, and then I was, you know, I was just.
So you've been watching Fargo.
Been watching Fargo.
Before we wrap.
I'm trying to think if there's any. Yes, there have been other things. Been watching Schitt's Creek. I've been watching that Letterman interview show. My next guest needs no introduction. It's nice. Like it wasn't really appeal to me right off. And I watched the one with Obama, and he always has a segment where he sort of takes it a little deeper and he goes to a place and talks to a person either connected to the main person that he's talking to or somewhere adjacent. And he talks to John Lewis and walks across the Pettus Bridge, you know, with him, which is that historic, you know, site of the Bloody Sunday where the cops just beat the shit out of all these peaceful protesters. And it was just very poignant and, you know, felt very connected to what's going on now. And it was nice to see, you know, a guy who could formulate complete sentences who used to be the president. It was good.
Yeah. And Dave is great, man.
He's very quick and, you know,
just legend.
There's something about the format of a late show that's so shticky and everything has to be kind of quick and like moving along. And it's nice to see him lean into an interview and sort of like really drink it in and take his time as opposed to just like trying to blast through these segments before commercial break. And he seems to be enjoying himself too.
It's great. I love it. All right, Noel. Well, that's it for episode one. We're going to get another one in the can right after this. But thank you all for listening. Keep the faith. Keep your chin up. Go out in the world and make something great. That's what I say.
Mm-hmm.
Movie Crush is produced and written by Charles Bryant and Noel Brown. Edited and engineered by Seth Nicholas Johnson. And scored by Noel Brown here in our home studio at Ponce Market, Atlanta, Georgia for iHeartRadio.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.